from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's episode, an original song and a conversation about the expectations society places on women. But first, Catrice Stallworth, Oy Adebajo, Nadira Johnson, and Kavya Weaver talk about use of code switching to modify their language or behavior to fit expectations of others.
One quote that we found from Brendan Howell, president of the Indianapolis chapter of the National Association of Black Accountants, said, "For us to fit in a white man's world, we need to code switch to speak like they do, so they think we're just as intelligent as they are." What do you guys feel about that quote?
I think it's really sad that that's the reality. And I wasn't exactly sure what code switching was when I first heard the term, but when I heard the definition, which is to change the way that you speak in a world of white professionals in order to fit in and to be taken seriously, it felt very familiar to me because I definitely have seen that happen before.
So sometimes, like, black people feel that it's mandatory for them to code switch, like you said, and it also applies to immigrants and foreigners and their pressure to abandon their natural speech and cultural lingo to survive, basically. And they can change their hair or clothing. Sometimes it's intimidating to wear bright clothing to appear non-confrontational so that you won't offend anybody.
I definitely feel that that is really true, especially in accordance to hair. Like, you know, I see a lot of black people who do straighten their hair, and sometimes I wonder if that's part of it and if they think that, oh, I might be seen as more accepted if I don't have braids or if my hair isn't as curly as it is right now.
Do you think that code switching is a phenomenon that occurs beyond just the workplace?
I kind of do think it does, because, like, even just in public or, like, anywhere else, somebody might want to act somebody might be uncomfortable with how they currently are with a specific person, so they will try it as hard as possible to change for that specific person, which is really unfortunate.
I think this issue is especially relevant right now with the rise of xenophobia and Islamophobia in this country, with just there's a lot more stigma associated with immigration, and it's a really controversial political issue. So I think, especially for immigrants and foreigners, this would probably be a very familiar idea that they have to assimilate more and in that process kind of abandon their cultural identity in order to feel welcomed and to feel safe in their environment.
I definitely think that, like, not just the workplace, but also in schools, you see code switching a lot, especially if, say, you're a minority in a school that's, like, mainly white. You feel this pressure to, like, fit in and, you know, not be any stereotype that you could possibly adhere to.
Have you guys experienced that before at school? Because sometimes, I don't know when specifically, but I've been referred to as a black white girl. Have you guys done that before?
Yeah.
Or experienced that, not done that. Go ahead.
I've experienced it because, like, whenever I was younger, for myself, I just was confused, and I was just like, wait, so why am I dark-skinned but I talk like I'm white? But that was just me, like, little me was an idiot. And then some kids would tell me, like, you sound like a white person, but you're black, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, that's definitely, I've, like, felt that as well, because I'm pretty well articulate and I don't fit into what most people stereotypically call black. So sometimes I wonder if I do code switch. I'm not sure if I do, but I do know that it definitely impacts, like, what I believe about myself. So I'm not code switching, but I sound this way and I act this way. Is there something wrong with me?
I think that it's interesting because probably when someone's code switching, it's not necessarily like a conscious decision, but just something that you've like a skill that you've acquired over time in order to feel like you fit in. And I think a quote that I thought was really interesting and evocative was the comedian Dave Chappelle said, "Every Black American is bilingual." Do you guys think that that's true or?
Yes, I do feel like that's true because I've seen different Black people just, well, code switch, how somebody will have like a regular conversation, I guess, using proper grammar and stuff. And then I guess when they're around professionals and then when they're with their friends or with people that they're more comfortable with, they feel that they can be more themselves and kind of switch in between like proper grammar and improper grammar and just be able to express themselves in the way they feel is best.
I definitely feel that way. I know that for my mom, that's definitely something. And I don't think that she's like really aware of it, but like one point in time, you'll hear her yelling at you in her Nigerian accent. Like, and then immediately she'll just be like, "Yes, good afternoon. How can I help you?" And I'll be like, "Wait, what?" And like, it's very actually funny, like how she just switches back and forth.
Yeah. I'm half Indian, and a lot of my relatives on my Indian side of the family are immigrants or first-generation Americans. So I talked to my mom about this issue when I was researching it, and she said that she's definitely seen her cousins who immigrated or other relatives have to kind of shift their accent or just talk at a different pace so that it's more comprehensible and just like better assimilate into the workplace so that they can be taken as seriously as their white counterparts.
There was this one story that I read for English class, not really sure what it was called exactly, but it was talking about how this Black man was just walking down the street. It talked about how he tried to change his posture or just try to appear that he wasn't intimidating to other women walking in front of him because he was always, unfortunately, he was always seemed to be walking behind women at the time, and it was at night, and he felt that he needed to change his perspective or his outlook so he didn't seem like he was after them in any way, how he needed to smile or just don't avert his eyes from them to show that he's not, like, trying to be dominant or any way.
There will be times when I'd be like, "Oh, here comes this person of XYZ race or age." And I'll be like, "Okay, you're educated. You're not here to hurt anybody. Like, just keep on walking, upper back, avert them. And remember, if they attack you, you have a water bottle or insert random object that you have on you at the time." So I definitely think that it's just kind of like you trying to defend yourself, basically.
It's interesting how code switching is like something that has been like a defense mechanism that's been cultivated because of racism and because people feel like they can't naturally be themselves without being judged or facing prejudice or discrimination. So hopefully we can move forward and make progress as a society to a place where nobody has to feel obligated to code switch.
So I know that you looked up some things about Sorry to Bother You, which deals with code switching. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think about that?
So I haven't seen this film, but I read a little bit about it. There was a movie released this past year in 2018 called Sorry to Bother You, and it was kind of a dark comedy that was more of a social commentary, but it follows the story of this young African-American telemarketer who the entire premise is he has to adopt a white voice, quote unquote, so that he can succeed at his job. But kind of goes through his like internal conflict with that adaptation, and it forces him to reflect on the power and the danger that having a white voice gives him and what it means to be a Black professional in the white working world.
Like, also thinking about like how media recently has dealt with code switching. Another movie that came to mind that I've watched is The Hate U Give. and how Star talks about their Star version number one and their Star version number two, who's polite, who doesn't talk back, only speaks when spoken to. So, and then, like, later on, after her friend basically gets killed, Star version number two just, like, completely falls apart, and she does get isolated because they're like, this is not you, but she's like, no, this is who I was all along. You just weren't accepting of that fact.
Now, Woodland Hills youth Eli Alfieri and Benito Contours perform an original song called Nothing to Lose.
Never happened quite like this before. I love to watch the wind blow the chimes by your door. And like the chimes, I just go with the breeze. It's lost me some lovers, but maybe now it's the key you're able to see life's beauty. Puts me at ease when you know what I mean. Yeah, something inside me doesn't feel the same. And I think that you're to blame, because you open my brain. And I swear that it's not in vain. Well, I have nothing, nothing to lose except you. Except for you. Row with the river and dance with the stars. Sing to the radio in broken cars. Carry you up a hill just to carry you back down. Carry a blanket just to lay on the ground. Don't leave my head. Finish my thoughts. Don't leave my bed. Connect the dots. Something inside me doesn't feel the same. And I think that you're to blame, because you opened my brain. And I swear that it's not in vain. Well, I have nothing, nothing to lose except you. I have nothing to lose except for you. Thank you.
On our last segment, students from the Emerging Leaders Program challenged the social standards placed upon women.
I think women's standards are held kind of high, especially as young women. We get looked at, viewed at kind of often, and since we have since social media is all out there, we have more of an opinion on how we should look, but we never asked maybe what we feel or.
A lot of women feel pressured to be perfect and be beautiful 24/7 mm-hmm. and just be we're on a false platter. But really, I feel like a lot of women and young women at that need to be more comfortable within themselves, know themselves, and just be more confident and accept the fact that it's okay to not be perfect 24/7. It's okay to not be pretty 24/7. It's okay to not be just what society wants you to be 24/7. You have to be real, because in reality, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Women, female, kids, nobody's perfect at all.
Women's standards are unfair. When you compare them to, men, they're not the same at all. Certain things that a man can do, a woman can't. I mean, we can, but they just don't view it as the same. We get looked at in a weird way. Or people just don't see it as, something a woman should be doing.
Mm-hmm. It's if a man were to do something, they would get praised for it, mm-hmm. or it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But if a woman were to turn around and do the same thing, then it's oh, she's this, she's that. And mm-hmm. just all these labels on her that are not even true, have mm-hmm. nothing to do with who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. And it's just bad. It's just bad karma.
Mm-hmm. And I feel a lot of women get shamed for who they are, as a person, if they're not a certain type of way, or if they do certain type of things, or if they do things differently, they get shamed for it. They get put down for being the way that they are. They get put down for being themselves. They get put down for being confident because they're too cocky. Be humble. It's hard. There has to be a balance to where you can be yourself and not be judged, but it's also a fact of you have to just kind of not care what people think. And I feel like women care too much because mm-hmm. we want to please everybody. We try to heal everybody. We try to please everybody. We can't do that. We can't do that to everybody.
Mm-hmm. I feel like another big issue is women bashing other women too. Yes. Some, it's not just the men holding us up to these certain standards, but it's mm-hmm. other women too. They're they feel as though if you don't look like me, if you don't talk like me, act like me, dress mm-hmm. like me, then, oh, you're not worth the same as me, or ooh, get away from me. People don't know how to accept each other. Mm-hmm. They feel like everyone should be the same, and it's just, how would the world be if we all were the same? I feel like it would be pretty boring. That's what makes us all unique.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Being ourselves.
And I feel like we also tend to let our insecurities eat at us, because ourselves are our biggest critics. Yes. If that makes sense. Yes. We put ourselves down. We say, oh, yeah, we don't look beautiful, or we don't look this certain type of way. But really, everybody else in the room thinks you're beautiful, but it's yourself that's putting yourself down. Mm-hmm. And we have to stop that. We have to wake up and bring ourselves up, uplift ourselves and say, I am beautiful. Do more self-love. Do more, just more more things to practice self-love, because self-love is the best love and it's key.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a good thing that we're all acknowledging it, because it makes other people acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. And then that's why, I feel like we're all more educated now.
Yeah.
That's why whenever you go in public, you see people raising awareness about it, and mm-hmm. then you see advertisement about, woman empowerment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, that's a really good thing that we're all, we know about it.
We all have to unite at the end of the day. We are all women. We are all yes. not perfect. Mm-hmm. We are all living, we're all human, so I feel like we all have to kind of be on the same mindset to where we got to accept each other for who we are and love each other, because we're all here to love. We're at a high standard, but we have to kind of be at a high standard because men look up to us, so mm-hmm. we have to kind of, yeah. pick ourselves up and hold our heads high and be queens as we are and carry ourselves as that. And go with that and stay with that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to kind of get there. It's hard to have confidence. It's hard to love yourself. It's hard to get to that point, but it's a growing process.
Mm-hmm. Us sticking together, if the other women weren't bashing each other and mm-hmm. we were all together, then those standards would possibly go away. Mm-hmm. people won't agree with them anymore. We would all just be sticking to the same thing, doing the one
And it's ridiculous that we're in 2019 and we right. still have to go through this. Mm-hmm. From birth, just being a woman, that's mm-hmm. a standard right there. You have to live up to being a woman and mm-hmm. you're expected to do certain things and to societal standards. Mm-hmm. If you're anything but what a woman is supposed to be, then you're looked at as not a woman, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like we should be building each other up instead of tearing each other down, because we already have so much weight of the world on our mm-hmm. shoulders mm-hmm. that could be one less thing that we need to just lift off of each other.
To wrap this up, if we're about to finish up, I feel like communication is key. And not enough women come together and we don't talk enough. We don't talk about our problems. We don't talk about our insecurities, because 9 times out of 10, we all are insecure and we're all insecure about the same things. So at the end of the day, we have to come together and communicate about how we feel and communicate what makes us happy and what doesn't make us happy. And I feel like if we all come together and talk about it, we can heal women in general.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.